This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We are celebrating 70 years of the Lord's work through this ministry. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune into this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Prayer is an important part of a Christian's life. As you pray for yourself, how do you ask God to bless you? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. The music on this program is presented to us by the Metropolitan Boys Choir and the St. Olaf College Choir. We begin our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that you have been willing to confront us with our sins, loving us enough to bother yourself in revealing who we really are. And when you have brought us to our knees, O God, we thank you that there is that gospel, the gospel that says that in Jesus Christ we can be forgiven. And so we receive that assurance of salvation. And then we thank you, God. We thank you above all else that you will continue to walk with us. And so we pray that you will give us a new heart and a new spirit, and that we may become new people in Jesus Christ, guided along life's way by your Holy Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Friends in Christ, prayer is an important part of any Christian's life. And obviously, you pray for yourself as well as for others. The question is, what do we pray for when we pray for ourselves? Well, ourselves, at least in my case, goes beyond my own person. I pray for my family, naturally, that they will be blessed with good health and protection, and all will go well in their lives. Sometimes I think I'm pretty selfish with my praying, and that I not only pray for the family, but so often just for material things. But be that as it may, we always are struggling with growing up in our prayer life. What do you pray for when it comes to your own person? I wonder if here we do not have a great example of a wonderful prayer for one's own self. It was prayed by David, found in Psalm 51. Reads something like this: Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. This is a verse that I pray daily, I believe, because it answers my deepest needs. I'd like to spend a little time with you on these words for a few minutes today. It was added, as I've said, by David, and as you well know. And it has a sorry background. For you recall that David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had murdered her husband Uriah. The event is well known to most of us. David saw the beautiful Bathsheba bathing herself and desired to have her in an adulterous way. So the servant was sent to fetch her and bring her to the bedroom. During the course of that act, Bathsheba was impregnated. And now the question was, what was he going to do with Uriah? Well, he had various plans, and we'll not go into that now, but when all else failed, he told the head of the army to put Uriah, who was a soldier, at the front and see that he was killed. And that was the way that David was going to do it, trying to cover up one sin with another. And he was a man of God, acting like this. But God was not going to let him get away with it. So he sent the prophet Nathan. And Nathan, through story form, told David what he had done. You have taken a man's wife. You had all kinds of wives, and you could have had more if you'd wanted them. You took his only wife, one whom he really enjoyed, and they had a good relationship with each other. You not only committed adultery with her, but you murdered him. And when Nathan got done, David only had one thing to say. I have sinned against the Lord. Then Nathan turns to him and said, but David, I got good news for you. God has forgiven your sin. Now here are two parts of this act. David commits adultery. God forgives him. But here is the third part of the whole event. David knows that it's far more than just committing sin and then being forgiven. What about the future? And so he cries out, God, create in me a pure heart and renew a right spirit within me. Or in other words, in a more earthy way, clean me up, Lord, or I'll fall right back in that same old mess. I know my nature. I know the drives that are within me. I know what can happen to me again. God, clean me up. Take my soul and cleanse it from the inside. In other words, here was a man who was pouring out his heart in true repentance. When temptation came, once again to be repetitive, David knew what could happen. Jesus talks a great deal about the heart. And in Matthew 15, verse 19, he says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Isn't that ourselves? What we do, what we say, are really products of the heart. So do we not need to pray every day, oh God, create in me a clean heart? And that word cleansing is the same word that is used in the Hebrew text when God begins to cleanse people from their sins. It was that type of thing that he used when he talked with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you've got to be cleansed from within. You've got to be born again. You've got to be recreated. You don't just need to be moralized. You need to be cleansed. When people put their trust in Christ and receive eternal life, they get more than forgiveness. Otherwise, heaven would be populated with a bunch of forgiven sinners still running from God. But God will not have that, so He changes them from within. Their hearts and human spirits are made new. They long for Him. They want to do what He says is good. Then we see Him as our instructor. That paragraph I read some time ago, I don't know who wrote it, but how true it really is. God first, forgive me. Secondly, clean up my heart. Thirdly, create within me a right spirit. Now, what are some of these evil spirits that come our way and that we have to fight from time to time? I think we, generally speaking, have problems with the same sins. A dislike and hatred can fill our soul, and our spirits can be what we call hateful. We hear people say that she is so hateful. We pray that God will take that hatefulness away from us, and that He will put into our spirit a love. Some are troubled with jealousy. They see what other people have, and they're jealous. And not simply about material things, but even such a thing as health. One person has a healthy body and is getting along well, and the other person is sickly. Oftentimes, I've had people who are sick tell me, sometimes it's very difficult not to be jealous. Sometimes it's we're jealous about families. I recall here some time ago that a lady said, I don't understand what we did wrong. Look at our children. None of them make us proud. And then we look around and see some other families, and they have not lived nearly as good a life as we have not been active in the church like we were, did not always bring their children to Sunday school and church and all the rest. Their children turn out just fine. It makes me kind of angry from time to time. That's a bad spirit. And we ask God, as we pray for ourselves, oh, renew within us a right spirit. There is such a thing as dishonesty. That's a poor spirit, that I can't face the situation as it is and say, this is wrong, and I have to admit it. But rather we would cover it up and try to make something good out of that which is bad. God, renew within me a right spirit, and help me to be able to face the situation as it is and deal with it by the grace of God and Your presence with me. Those are some of the sins that we want to get rid of. But I have another one today that I'd like to spend the rest of the sermon on. And that is a spirit of apathy. I believe we are completely filled with an apathetic type spirit in so many parts of our society. Rollo May has said, hate is not the opposite of love. Rather, apathy is. And I believe that there's a lot of truth in what Rollo May has said, that when we are apathetic towards some person where it should not be the case, we are not really showing love for the person. In other words, if somebody is living in a very, very bad way as far as God is concerned, even as far as general morals are concerned, And we are so apathetic about it that we will not even talk to that person about where he's going wrong and what the results are going to be. That is less than love. And May goes on to say it's almost worse than hatred. But we are apathetic in so many cases. We become indifferent. We say, don't bother me. Let someone else take care of it. And as a result of that, some awful things really happen. And maybe we have reason for it. We say, well, it could affect my business. It could affect my social status. It could break up some good friendships that I already have. And so I'm going to turn my head the other way in apathy. Here are we again, we need to pray, God in heaven, please create within me a right spirit and take the apathy out of my soul. Grant me the forgiveness for being so apathetic and make me live in my witness for you and that which your word has called right and wrong. You know, some terrible things have happened in history, and let me just mention one. It's a statistic that I read the other day, assuming that it must be right. In 1923, Adolf Hitler gained control of the Nazi Party by one vote. And see what really came to pass. The apathy is found in our world. Can we be apathetic to this condition that we have in our world? War, killing of people. Weren't you amazed the other day when you heard that the casualties in this war in the Mideast is more numerous among children than among soldiers? I could hardly believe it, but it came from a rather noble and trustworthy man who was reporting on what was happening in that part of the world. Well, we say, what can we do about it? Why get all worked up about this? We can't help it. Maybe we can't as an individual. But have we ever voiced our opinion to those who are in authority over us? Have we ever really registered our opinion to our congresspeople or whoever they may be? The apathy is found also even within the church. You know, sometimes things are not always right in the church. But because people have failed to speak up when things were seriously wrong, they went from bad to worse. A few days ago, I was visiting with a theological professor from a seminary not of my own denomination, not Lutheran. And I said to him, you know, there's a real difference in sometimes the preaching of the word in our day and from what it used to be. Now, I don't want to be guilty of saying way back there it was so wonderful and today it is not so good. I hear some very, very good preaching. But I hear some that one could question just a little bit. There's no way of hearing the gospel that God has redeemed us in Jesus Christ from some of these sermons. And I asked the professor, how do you account for this? For you are the people who are training these preachers of the future. He went on to say, I in no way want to say that you're wrong. There are some things that are not always right in our seminaries, and I too am astounded at some of the beliefs that I hear among the faculty. But after we had talked about that, and he was dreadfully honest, too honest as far as I was concerned, he turned around and said, but this does not take you off the hook. Why have you permitted it to go this far? Apathy. I can't do anything about it. Let somebody else do something about it. Well, we just have to let it go. Wrong. Wrong. Apathy in denominations. Where once they stood on the Word of God and says, this is what the Word says. And today we're saying, we dare not split the church by a legalistic, whatever that is, interpretation of the Word. I tell you, friend, apathy digs in deeply and sticks up its head in places where you least expect to find it. Apathy. How Satan likes to get after some of us who are retired. Why don't you just sit back and look? You've deserved the right to find a place in your easy chair. And be critical if you want to, that's all right. But why don't you kind of relax a bit? Now, they're all fancy ways of expressing apathy. I had a lady tell me not long ago, a good friend of mine, that she meant it all right. She said, you know, why don't you quit? You're just too old. I love that woman. She's a fine, fine person. She wanted only the best for me, but that's how deeply apathy really gets into our thinking. Do you ever retire from saying a good word for the Lord Jesus Christ? We have responsibilities. And so we can only pray, oh God, be with me. Be with my family. Be with my world. Be with our society as a whole. But God in heaven, as I pray for myself, will you clean up my person? Will you give me a pure heart? And will you renew a right spirit in me? For God, you know, as I know, unless you are there to be the one who controls and guides me, I will fall again. And Lord, what I want more than anything else is to express my love to you from a clean heart and from a spirit that is in tune with your spirit. David gave us a great verse, and I hope you put it in your spiritual computer, commit it to memory, and pray it every day. Amen. Thank you. Father, we thank you for that beautiful example of David praying for himself, and you're answering the prayer that as you forgave David, you were also willing to create within that man a clean heart and to give him a new spirit. Oh God, grant that that may be true in our lives. Take away that which is not according to your will. Strengthen us and make us servants of yours that continually point people to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Hear us then as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. For the past 70 years, the Holy Spirit has worked through this ministry to reach countless people around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are invited to join us in celebration of this milestone by celebrating September 10th between 2 and 4:30 p.m. at Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. A short program at 2:30 will include a message by Reverend Homer Larson with special music by the Proud Image Men's Barbershop Chorus. Ron Steele, Waterloo's KWWL-TV anchor, will MC the program, and Reverend Stephen Kramer, Christian Crusaders Associate Speaker, will join us as our special guest. There is no cost to attend. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now celebrating 70 years of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.